In the shadowy world of 1940s America, obsession wears many faces. For Genevieve Parsons, it appears first as a pair of eyes watching from beyond her window, dark, intense, and filled with unmistakable hunger. For Rinaldo Capello, mafia enforcer with a blind left eye, it manifests the moment he glimpses her writing in her yellow dress, "She must be mine." What follows is a dance of forbidden desire that blurs the boundaries between devotion and dangerous fixation. Why are we so captivated by stories that explore this shadowy territory? Perhaps because they force us to confront uncomfortable truths about our own hearts, how thin the line between love and obsession truly is, and how easily we might cross it under the right circumstances. Parsons' manner stands as a physical manifestation of Genevieve's inner world, grand yet decaying, beautiful yet haunted. Its checkered floors and winding staircases mirror the psychological labyrinth its inhabitants navigate. Mirrors reflect fractured identities, while ghostly presences, a 7-foot shadow with red eyes, unexplained temperature drops, blur the line between reality and fantasy. For Genevieve, the house represents both prison and sanctuary. Trapped by societal expectations and her failing marriage, she finds unexpected freedom within these walls during Rinaldo's secret visits. The manor becomes a space where she can explore long-suppressed desires beyond her role as a proper wife and mother. The Gothic setting amplifies the emotional intensity of the affair. In the rose garden, beneath oak trees, and in shadowed corners of empty rooms, Genevieve discovers dormant parts of herself. The house bears silent witness to her transformation, its walls seemingly protecting the secret at the heart of the story. 16 years of marriage between John and Genevieve Parsons lie in ruins. Their loving partnership crumbled under John's gambling and alcohol addictions. When he gambled away their savings and endangered their home, the first major fracture appeared, but worse was to come. The deterioration deeply affects their 13-year-old daughter, Serafina. Her innocent question about whether her father's drinking means he doesn't love her reveals the collateral damage of John's self-destruction. Genevieve maintains a brave face for Sarah while privately acknowledging her helplessness as a housewife without independent means. The marriage reaches the point of no return when John, drunk, forces himself on Genevieve while mistaking her for another woman. Later, after striking her during an argument, Genevieve recognizes, "The exact moment I gave up on my husband for good. 16 years of love crumbled away as if it was nothing." Yet, divorce in 1940s America remained nearly impossible for women with children. Courts typically favored fathers in custody battles, leaving Genevieve trapped in a loveless marriage for Sarah's sake, adding another layer to her moral dilemma when Rinaldo enters the picture. Rinaldo Capello, before becoming Genevieve's lover, is introduced executing a traitor and disposing of the body in a canal, establishing his comfort with violence as consigliere to the Salvatore crime family. Yet beneath this ruthless exterior lies unexpected complexity. Orphaned after losing his father in World War I and his mother to alcoholism, the crime family became his only source of belonging. His military service left him physically scarred, including his blind left eye. What makes Rinaldo fascinating is his duality. He's capable of ordering brutal executions where men are literally torn apart by horses walking slowly to prolong their suffering, yet shows surprising tenderness with Genevieve. Rather than taking what he wants by force, he builds trust gradually, touching her possessions while she's away, inhaling her scent of cinnamon, amber, and sandalwood, and leaving small tokens of his presence. This restraint reveals a personal code of honor despite his criminal lifestyle, particularly regarding Genevieve. He sees in her not merely an object of desire, but a chance at the passionate love his parents once shared, existing in a morally ambiguous space between villain and romantic hero. "A stirring in my core I haven't felt since John and I first courted, but stronger, more intense, like a spark igniting dormant embers." These words capture Genevieve's first encounter with Ronaldo, a moment marking the beginning of her transformation. Having married at 19 to escape her strict mother, Genevieve settled into conventional marriage without understanding her own identity. Her relationship with John remained confined within boundaries of routine domesticity, predictable patterns that left her unaware of deeper connections. Each interaction with Ronaldo builds emotional resonance. Their first intimate moment beneath an oak tree is transformative, like capturing lightning, his presence both unfamiliar and inevitable. Through these encounters in gardens, quiet buildings, and once during a thunderstorm, Genevieve discovers not just physical pleasure, but a deeper understanding of herself. Most significant is her evolution from passive participant to active agent. She transforms from someone overwhelmed by new experiences to someone who shapes them, expressing her needs with increasing confidence. When she makes Ronaldo beg during their rocking chair encounter, she notes this definitely will not be the last time, symbolizing her reclamation of power. The affair between Genevieve and Ronaldo occupies morally complex territory. While her marriage to John has deteriorated into a hollow shell marked by betrayal, financial irresponsibility, and physical abuse, the narrative resists easy moral judgments. Genevieve recognizes her own contradiction when writing, "Being with John now feels wrong, as though I'm cheating on Ronaldo rather than my husband." This inverted perspective shows her shifted emotional allegiance, yet she remains conscious of the social contract she's breaking. Her diary entries reveal someone torn between societal expectations and personal truth. Sarah's presence further complicates matters. Genevieve justifies staying with John for Sarah's sake, prioritizing her daughter's well-being over her own happiness. When Ronaldo suggests eliminating John, she clarifies her resistance is for Sarah's sake, not mine, separating marital obligations from maternal ones. Secondary characters add depth to this complexity. Martha, the housekeeper who glimpses the affair, balances loyalty to John with sympathy for Genevieve. The townspeople's gossip reveals society's contradictory attitudes, publicly condemning infidelity while privately understanding its appeal. Through these perspectives, we see infidelity's ripple effects beyond just the participants. The supernatural elements culminate in a haunting conclusion, suggesting connections that transcend mortality. A dated note, May 16, 1946, "I love you, Ronaldo. With every beat of my heart, not even death can take that away from us," hints at their relationship's tragic end while affirming their enduring bond. In a bonus scene, characters witness the ghosts of Gigi and Ronaldo dancing by the fireplace with Frank Sinatra playing from an unplugged radio. Their spectral presence appears peaceful and harmonious, contrasting with their passionate living relationship. This supernatural resolution offers redemption, suggesting some connections are too powerful to be constrained by morality or death. The image of ghosts dancing by firelight becomes a metaphor for love's endurance, how profound human experiences often defy categorization. Imagine finding a love so consuming it follows you beyond the grave. Would you risk everything, reputation, security, even morality, for such a connection? That's the question at this gothic tale's heart.